I warmly welcome you all in the precious name of the Lord. And if you feel like I have felt, then we were already blessed by the songs. The first one I see in glory shall be Jesus, and it will be Him. Him shall we see, Him we will meet in the air. Even before we enter there, we will meet Him already. And when we see Him as He is, then we will suddenly look at each other and see that we all, as bride, were transformed into His image. Oh yes, there is joy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is not a story. This is divine reality. As we earthly come after the first Adam, so we come spiritually after the second Adam, after Christ our Lord. I would like, before we pray, read from Psalms 92, a couple of verses. Let us stand up for it. Psalms 92, from verse 13 to 16. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank You for the privilege to be gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, to come to be under the sound of Your Word, being aware of that You quicken and revive it, and that You speak to us through Your Spirit, faithful God. We are fully aware of that here not a religion takes place, but that people are spoken to by Your Word, and that they may have an encounter with You. Also for this I thank You, that we can still experience You today, for You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember the lost, remember the sick, those who suffer and are afflicted. We ask You, go today through our rows, address all, and ask everyone, what wilt Thou that I should do unto Thee? We know it, Lord. We need Thee. We need Thee more than ever before. Come into our midst. Be Thou present. Speak to us. Lord, give grace that we hear Your Word and absorb it as if we would see You before us. How You open Your mouth and speak to us. Thank You that Your Word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what You have sent it for. Once again, we commit this service unto Thee and place ourselves consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb, and we ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be the one who speaks, who works, and we will give You all the glory, all the praise, and all the worship with all our hearts. In Jesus' holy name, Amen. Let us continue today with the main thought. The time is at hand, and the time is here. I would like to read to this from the Gospel of John. And I start here with chapter 7, and then we go to the prophetic scriptures of the Word. From John 7, we read the following, right from verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Listen closely now. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. Let us stop here for a moment. The brothers of the Lord in flesh, that means the sons of Mary, Jesus was the Son of God. They said, Go and show thyself openly. No one who wants to appear in public remains in secret. They meant it well. They gave this advice. And he says, Go ye up. My time is not yet come, but your time is always. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. I read on from verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Just before, he said, Go ye up, I don't go. And when they went, his hour came. Then came the minute for him to go up. Not when his brothers wanted it, when the hour of God had come. He shouldn't go in company with his family, earthly speaking. He should come on the scene there, and it should be a surprise. We see that for a thing for which today the time cannot be declared as yet to have come, it is possible that within a few hours, within of 1 or 2 days, it can look already totally different. We are in great expectation. And when we say the time is at hand, then we know that it can only be one step until the moment the time has come. That we not only believe that the Lord has spoken, but that he arises to work and to confirm as he promised it. In verse 11 it says, Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. There, where God is at work, always a decision will have to be made. When great evangelists come on the scene, no decision is due. There, everything swims with, everything goes with. All churches, all denominations, for everyone there's room. A decision does not need to be made. But when a prophet came on the scene, then it was totally different. Then he didn't come to limp on both sides. There the question had to be asked, how long do you want to limp on both sides? If God is God, then serve him. Always there, where a prophetic message is brought, people are forced to make a decision. Here, there were two groups. Some said, he is a good man. The other said, no, he deceiveth the people. There is nothing in between. Also today, either the people will reject or accept us with a message which we have to bring. There is no other way. A way in between does not exist. Either yes or no. Either for or against. There is no golden middle course. And we believe that God has made the decision for us. Our decision is clear. We stand and walk with God. We stand upon the unmistakable promises which God has given in His Word by grace. In John chapter 6, in verse 30, the people asked the Lord, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Let us stop here a bit at this term, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? I want to read it clearly from Isaiah chapter 7. The Lord himself was a sign. No more sign needed to be given, but through him and with him the sign was given unto us. Isaiah chapter 7 from verse 11. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And Isaiah said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So far, this precious word. Jesus Christ was himself a sign. A sign will be given to you. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Right in the recent days, in the past week, I heard how three professors in a famous theological school here in Germany denied the virgin birth of Jesus Christ our Lord openly, and not an institution of a church, but of a free denomination. The worse it is, there one would have to expect that these people have at least so much respect before God that they leave the word as it is written. But publicly to deny that Christ was begotten by the Holy Spirit and was born virgin-like, this is just too much. But we live, of course, in a time of unbelief, in the time of the falling away. And if these days would not be shortened, then no man could be saved. But in the same way, we live in a time of restoration. And I believe that the divine truths since a long time have not become so much aware to the believers as in these days. Some are turning away more and more from God and God's word, and the others are turning more and more to God and God's word. And we are heading for the point where really, finally, the church of the living God becomes one with God in the Spirit and in the Word. According to the scripture, Father, thou in me and I in them, so that we may be one. Here we read it. I will give you a sign. I like to remember, because we truly live in a time where everything what God's word says is questioned. And if already a Jew dares to say the fairy tale of a Noah and a flood we don't need, what shall then one expect from all the others? Being a Bible believer today is a direct privilege that God has given us. Being a believer, as the scripture says, with all the promises which the word contains, without deviating to the left or right, is a great grace of God. We can only say, the lots are fallen unto us in pleasant places. A great heritage was given unto us. I read also the book of the world famous evangelist. One may not mention his name here. And he wrote beneath the title, The Angels Are Ministering Spirits. He refers to Hebrews chapter 1. And I thought by myself, oh man, who you can go so far. Your eyes were holden, and you could not see what God has done before your door in our generation. You know, one can even write about biblical subjects extensively and much and still not be a part of the thing about which one writes. And here I think on Brother Branham, when at his time somebody came to him who wrote a whole book about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And now he wanted to know what Brother Branham says about it. And then he firstly asked, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And then he says, no. Don't you have any gift of the Spirit? No. And then you wrote about all the gifts of the Spirit without having a single one. And the conversation was soon finished. The conversation was soon finished. Beloved, what shall be said by it? We must truly partake of all the divine promises. What God promised, this we must experience, at all costs experience it, not only knowing in theory about it, but biblically experiencing it, what our brothers and sisters experienced at the beginning. How many would like to experience all this before the coming of the Lord, that God works once more through His Spirit? This we all need. And I'm convinced, as the early rain came and God gave grace for the sowing, so the latter rain will come and God will bring the fruit to maturity so that the harvest can then be brought in. Let us come back to the book of Acts, chapter 7. We read it probably the last time. Acts chapter 7, verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. The nearer the time of the fulfillment of the promise came, all of us, we understood so much from the proclamation of the word that biblical faith must be anchored in the promises of the word. If we believe that God will still do something, then we have a biblical foundation for it. I can read you many things. In Hebrews, we were told about it, that God has given the promise. I read from Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 26. Hebrews 12, from verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. God has given the promise to once more shake the heaven and the earth. Everything what can be shaken will be shaken. But here it says that we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God is, according to the scripture, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Some kind of storms may sweep over the kingdom of God. What is being swept away was anyway not a part of the kingdom, but has to be swept away. Everything what belongs to the kingdom of God will remain in your and in my life, in whatever way and from which directions the trials may come. We will, by grace, stand firm. Why? Because we stand upon the unmistakable word of God, which is rock solid forever. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. I believe that God has spoken to us. You know, I don't belong to those who have the name of Paul and of Peter, or the name of various men of God, up to the greatest man of God at all times, Brother Branham. I don't have these names often in my mouth, but in my heart, deep in my heart, I'm convinced that he was the prophet promised in the Word, and that God sent him in the last church age at Laodicea, where everybody says, we are rich, we have everything in plenty, and so forth. And the Lord had to say, you don't know that you are naked, poor, and blind. I believe that God has sent this man, just as he sent a Paul, a Moses, and other men. He sent them for special tasks. Now the question comes up, what have we to do with it? You can hear today great preachers, but they don't want to know anything about what God has truly done. And for us, this is a very special joy when I can read in the Gospels that John, as a man sent from God, came on the scene, then my heart rejoices. Then I'm glad about it, because I know, thus it was written, thus it was promised, and that's how it was fulfilled. But when then is written, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, then this is also a promise. And the terrible day of the Lord will burn as an oven. On that day the wicked shall be as stubble. And the day that comes will burn them up. This day of the Lord was not here yet. It will still break forth when the time of grace will have come to its end. And the day of salvation came to the end. Only then, the day of wrath, the day of judgment, will come upon the wicked and also upon the pious, unbelieving world. But now is still the day of salvation, the time of grace, the year of Jubilee. I think it was Brother Zink who said just now, Brother Frank, the year of Jubilee broke forth already. God has done already great things. Oh yes, we believe in it. We believe that everywhere there, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, and when people believe it, there the year of Jubilee started. There the people may go out freely. They don't need to be enslaved anymore. According to the scripture, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Son of Man did not come to judge the world, but to save it. He came to seek and to save what was lost. A wonderful message of the divine love for all who are lost, for all who went astray, to all who shall be called out by God, and they will be called out. Prophetically seen, we realized already many things that is also being fulfilled. And here, may today the remark be permitted to me that there are still many who have different Christian literature in their homes and read them, and then get into confusion. Just recently I read such an article, and there a man writes that Mr. Gorbachev has a wound on his forehead, and this is the mark of the beast. More foolish it cannot be. But what is it? There are so many who read and they eat all this and say, oh, this man, he draws from a fountain of wisdom. He doesn't draw of any fountain. This is absolute foolishness and has nothing to do with the scripture. It would be good if we would read again the book of the seven seals under prayer to really understand where what is, where the danger actually is. I know also this was emphasized already in 1933. Watch Russia, watch Russia, the king of the north. And we know that he, at the last battle of Armageddon, he will be the leader. This is not unknown to us. I read it to you from Ezekiel 38, so that you know that the man from the far north will be the leader. He will send all the others. He will be the leader. Ezekiel chapter 38 from verse 5. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. And then some other nations are listed. And then it says, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. You can read on. This is prophecy, and it will be fulfilled. But before this can take place, some other things have to take place first. Namely, that today everything goes beyond the level of nations. Today it's about the World Bank, about world trade, about World Council of Churches, only world currency system. Today everything goes beyond all national borders. Why? We live in the end time. Today we can see in Switzerland what is happening in Melbourne or in Auckland or in Tokyo. Whoever wants to see it can see it. We live in a very enormous time. And also this may be mentioned here. I myself watched in Israel into the TV. And what stood out to me? When the Israelites reported about the turmoils, then one could see how stones were picked up, how they were thrown and so forth. When the Americans showed their report, there could only be seen how the scout cars were driving in front and the soldiers were cleaning up. And there I thought by myself, how are also such media reports manipulated? They don't show how things became, where the cause was. They only show what happened later on, to again point to the enemy. But we, as children of God, we don't need a TV. We just need a clear view to know what it's about. We are not influenced by any media. We pray for Israel. Here we read it. At the end of days, it will take place. There they will be gathered from all nations and will be planted in their homeland. Let me prophetically express one more thought today, so that all know once for all that here it's not about China that has a special role or somebody else, but that to the prophet Daniel were shown four beasts, and these four beasts represented the four successive world empires. And the last world empire existed already before the coming of Christ, namely the Roman Empire. And after the Roman Empire comes nothing. The Roman Empire is the last one. And then comes the stone that was cut out without hands and smites the image at its feet and breaks it to pieces. I would like to read it to you briefly because it upsets me inwardly when I time again realize how children of God are put into unrest, and we don't need that at all. We have to be firmly established in the Bible in these days. We must know our Bible, and then we will also know our God better. Daniel chapter 7 from verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. You all think of Revelation 17, this I know, because you know the Bible. Now I read verse 17. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. I still have to read on, so that you know that the Holy Scripture gives also here a very clear answer, namely verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. Not the first, not the second, not the third, The fourth is the last, and the last one will rule over the whole earth. And if one then, of course, reads in Revelation 17 that the whore rides on this beast, then we know that the religious and the political power will be united at the end. And for this, we have to watch out. We see on one hand the joint venture of the economies, and we see also the uniting of the religious power. Everything is now being united. Everything is joined together before our eyes. No one has a panacea when we read in the Holy Scripture, in Luke 21, for instance, that there will be perplexity among the nations. Then we have this already now. Where is the counsel of the wise? Where are they who can tell us what will come? No, all are perplexed and all are helpless. But the things takes slowly shape. Let me please read on here in Daniel 7. On purpose, I read verse 23 again and will then continue with the other verses so that you know 100% that it refers to the direct end, to the end time in which we live now, and we will not even witness it until the very end. But I still read it to you. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Did we notice? This refers already to the direct end, even to the breaking of the covenant with Israel and the 3.5 years of tribulation that will still come upon the people of Israel after the ministry of the two witnesses. So until the direct end, until the divine judgment shall sit and the power will be taken away from the beast, and God himself establishes his kingdom here on this earth, and the saints of the Most High will take over the rulership. I read it to you from the New Testament, from Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Here it is written, Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And from Revelation chapter 20, we read Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What we find testified in the scripture, we may and can believe on the spot. Important is only that we, as already emphasized, that we can place it correctly and know that not a fifth kingdom, not another kingdom, but the Roman Empire as the last one, namely until the end, will be on earth. And this, what is happening now politically, is nothing else but the reviving of this old Roman Empire. And this great woman that rules over the kings of the earth. You all know, biblical scene, God compares first Israel as his wife who receives his seed. And later, in the prophetic book of the New Testament, the church. But there in Revelation 17, the woman is called the whore who messed around with everyone, who is full of names of blasphemy, and who rides on this last empire, on this last beast. Look, if in the prophet Daniel would not have been also given the answer, then we would have to guess today and feel like the blind and wouldn't know whether it's right. But the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, the four beasts that were shown to you are four empires that will be on earth, and they represent four kings who will rule. So we know very well, prophetically seen, the last world empire is the Roman Empire. And here all power is united. Who read it in the newspaper recently? When the Pope, before 85,000 Muslims, spoke in Casablanca, all were enthused. He, as the head of the Roman Church, speaks before the Muslims, and all are off their seat and are enthused. We see that the dominance is not only shown prophetically, but it comes already to the surface. I will still have to write about it to also show us here the details from the word of prophecy. And I just come to it because I time and again find out that the one reads this and the other reads that, and they are tossed to and fro. The time of confusion and the time of being tossed to and fro is over. Now is not the time of interpretation. Now is the time of divine revelation. Now it's the time that we see with anointed eyes what is being fulfilled in Bible prophecy before our eyes and how all the things take shape. I know that God has sent us for this purpose, the prophetic message, to illuminate unto us the prophetic part of the plan of salvation and to give us enlightened eyes of understanding so that we also recognize in what time we live and that we see how far Bible prophecy is already advanced. Let us not be worried. We live in the end time. We live at the end of the end time. The time is at hand. The time is here. Any moment something could happen that we consider today to be who knows how far in the future. Look, after the last stock market crash, I have still said it in the last meeting in December. In former times, the poor used to envy the rich, and now the rich are affected, and the poor are laughing. When the stock market crashed, all who did not speculate, he doesn't need to be sad, and the rich are worried over their millions. They don't know any way out, and I tell you already today, everything, also the currency system, will collapse for one single purpose, that the last world empire under Roman dominion, and I don't be shy to mention the Vatican to be the center point, this will be it, which will then become power, and everything else will have to submit. This you know very well, for this is the prophetic image of the end time. But as I said, it will be better if we put all this into writing and then we can all read it. What I would like to point out again is, let us once again read the book, The Seven Seals, to really come to know how it was given by revelation, to see the details which we probably don't know so well, and to understand the connections better that are important now. I think if there are people on earth who should be informed about everything, then it should be us. The best informed people are those to whom divine clarity is given by the word of truth, by grace. Who was up to date in the days of Jesus Christ? Those who saw the fulfillment of Bible prophecy and who witnessed it. That's how it must be with us in these days. On the other hand, it will help no one to see everything prophetically if he is not saved himself and has not received eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. Not knowledge brings us eternal life, but the birth from God, as it is written, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and that what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, ye must be born again. Otherwise, you cannot see the kingdom of God, also not understand it. The access to the spiritual things is only then ensured when we, by the new birth, experienced God, having received the connection to God, having become partakers of His nature, and thus the revelation of His Word can flow to us. Let us summarize everything. The hour of the Lord comes in a moment when we don't expect it. Our Lord, at that time, to them who said to Him, come with us to the feast to Jerusalem, He said, go ye, I don't go. My time is not yet come. Did He break His word? No. And I tell you also why. Whoever reads John 5, verse 19, gets the answer. The Son does nothing but what He sees the Father do. Only in the moment where He was shown, when it was revealed to Him, this is the moment, arise and go. Then He arose and went. Into this stand also we, as the Word Church, as the Bride Church, we have to get at the end, into this divine stand. Not that somebody comes to us and says, Brother Frank, or Brother so-and-so, let us go, the time is here, and one is urged, go, and let the people know, how long do you want to still wait? And then we react in the same way as our Lord reacted back then. He said, you just go up, I don't go. My time is not yet come. Ye go. My time has not yet come. When did He go? At the end, on the last day. And therefore it says, on the last day of the feast, He lifted up His voice and said, he who is athirst, let him come to Me. You all know the Holy Scripture. God has for everything time and hour. And sometimes it's really only about hours or days, and no more about weeks, months or years. And the nearer this time comes, the nearer it gets to where it's only about days, about hours, the more we have to be watchful. For you all know the story of Moses. He knew that he was called to deliver the people of Israel. And the Holy Scripture says When he was 40 years old, the longing came up in him, and he went and wanted to deliver his brethren. And why did it not happen? Because the 400 years were not up yet. Who knows how many years were missing? Exactly 10 years were missing. 390 years have passed. And the Lord said to Abraham, after 400 years, God sticks precisely to his word. Nobody has to hurry God. 390 years have passed. Moses was 40 years old when he went for the first time. He was 80 when he went for the second time. And so all of the time was 430 years. This you can still read in Galatians, if you like. So simple is the calculation. Please, I say it to myself, and I let it be said to me by God. And I say it to all of us. The nearer we come now into the phase in which great things will happen by God, the more watchful we must be. Please, not being in a hurry, no pushing, waiting for the signal of the Lord. And when he says, arise, then we arise. When he says, walk, then we walk. Whatever he says unto us, this we will do. That's how it is already written in John, in chapter 2, at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. There the Lord said, woman, what is that to you? My time is not yet come. Leave me alone. A few minutes later, his time was come. And he says to the men, fill the water pots with water, and say to the governor of the feast, he may draw out now the wine. Do you see what it's all about? Not the pushing. The need is here, this we know. And if it were up to me, I would also start pushing. Do you think I have no urge in me? Oh yes. I would like to push myself and all of us and say, let us go now, the time is here. No, the time is here. But because it is here, because it's not about years or decades, maybe just months or weeks, whatever, the more vigilant let us be. And if it would still take 10 or 20 years, I would not be disappointed. I did not appoint the time. This God has done from eternity. Let us learn today this lesson, that God, through the word of prophecy, by the symbols in the word of prophecy, by the examples, by all the images that show us something, he has given us in the Old and in the New Testament a clear overall view of that, what he intends to do. Now we, as the church in the end time, we have the task to experience the ministry of Christ in its completion. And Brother Branham had such a ministry. He who has seen the film can remember it. He says, I'm so helpless as you are. I wait for the angel of the Lord. And when he says something, then I also say it. And then it happens. To wait until the instruction comes. At the wedding, Mary said, listen, there is a lack. Take care now. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Leave me alone. And then the moment came. Maybe there were only minutes in between. And with the feast in Jerusalem, whether 1 or 2 days were in between, I don't know. In any case, it followed in quick succession. Just go ye up, I don't go. And suddenly he went. Why? The instruction came, and he went, and it happened. If somebody would push me today and say, do this now or that, and I would know in my heart that this is in the will of God, I still could not do it. I would have to wait until I get the instruction from the Lord. And then everything can be upside down. Then God will stand to us. He will be with us and will confirm the word in a majestic way. And we will be happy in our God. Who is now ready with an inner urge to yet wait and to say, Lord, here we are. We know what you promised and we know that it will happen. We arrived at the end. Lord, you showed it to us. Please help us. Take us by the hand. Lead us so that we not at our time, but at your time, in your name, according to thy word, do that what you want to be done. Then the bride church will be in lockstep with the bridegroom. Word and spirit will mate, and the spirit will quicken and will confirm the word in the word bride, and we all will be happy again, and we will thank our God with all our hearts. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. With all my heart, I thank you for the great privilege that we may be gathered in your holy presence. We are not worthy, O Lord. Thou alone art worthy. But we come under the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb. We approach the throne of grace, where you as advocate intercede for us, O Lord. We ask you, who you have given grace until now, go with us until the end, until we come from believing unto seeing. Lord, we will see your glory. We will experience the total restoration. Our heart will rejoice, our soul jubilate, for you are watching over your word to fulfill it. The sons of God will be manifest. Your power will be manifest. All promises will be fulfilled, and every word that you promised will be fulfilled. We pray also for those who come new into the kingdom of God. Beloved Savior, draw them. Lay your blessing hands upon them, especially on all who are here today for the first time and experience such a service. May they recognize of what it is about, O Lord, and what serves for their peace. Yes, may they have been saved today. Together we thank you, Lord Almighty God, for the prophetic message of your word, for the light that you let shine upon it, for the revelation of thy will in this time. All mysteries were revealed. It started with the mystery of God, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and of the knowledge of God. Beloved Lord, to us you have given the privilege to feast upon the food for this time. A great expectation and hope you have awakened in us, and we will not be put to shame. We believe as Abraham believed, and will see the promise fulfilled. Blessed and praised be thy name. Amen.